Today is Thursday morning, August 1, August 2nd, 14th day of the month of Av. This is the Daf Yomi, starting again, Maseches Brachos. Okay, so the Meiri writes that before you can acquire any Chachma, what one should do is make an attempt to accept HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the source of all Chachma, the source of our very life. And therefore, the topic selected happens to be Inyanei Kriyashma, which are obviously Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shamayim. I would just add onto what Rabbi Lau said last night at the Siyum. He said that it's interesting to note that if you look at Maseches Brachos, there are three parts to it. Their first three prakim focus on Inyanei Kriyashma. The next two prakim, the fourth and the fifth, focus on Tefillah. And then four prakim on Brachos. Ketzad Mevarchim on Birchas Hananin. And then Shloish Yishachlu on Birchas Hamazon. And then the last two prakim on a variety of other topics of brachos. So the question is, why was the Masechta called brachos if you don't reach brachos until the sixth perek? Maybe it should have been called Maseches Kriyashma or Maseches Tefillah. Why call it Maseches Brachos? So he suggested that based on the Gemara Nedarim, that the Gemara says that the reason why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed was not because they didn't learn Torah, but they said lo baruchu b'Torah tchila, that they engaged an enormous amount of learning, but they were failed to recite Birchas HaTorah, acknowledging that the source of Torah is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They believed it was their own intellectual pursuit. And perhaps that's the reason why he calls the Masechta Brachos, that before an individual engages in the study of any text, you have to recognize, you have to make Birchas HaTorah, and ultimately relate it, one source of knowledge, to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I would just add one thing to this. In a famous Reb Chaim, which dominates the spirit of the entire Daf Yomi. There is a machlokes between the Rambam and the Ramban as to whether Birchas HaTorah is Doraisa or Derabana. The Rambam is of the opinion there's only one bracha midoraisa, that's Birchas HaMazon, and the Ramban, citing the pasuk in Parshas Hazinu, Kishem Hashem Ekra Havu Goda Leloheinu, also believes that Birchas HaTorah are Doraisa. Yet, the Rambam and Ramban are shake hands that, as all Chachmei Sfara do, that the only time that you can recite Birchas HaTorah, as is the case with any Birchas HaMitzvah, is if you're obligated to observe that particular mitzvah. If you're not obligated to observe that mitzvah, you can't say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu. That's the rule of Pinky, which the all Chachmei Sfarad adopt. So therefore, the Rambam will say, and the Ramban doesn't disagree, that if our wives pick up a lulav and esrog, they're welcome to do so, but they should not say the bracha of Al Netilas Lulav. If they go into the sukkah, they should not say Leishei Pasukkah, because they're not obligated. They're only it's only an option. And the Rambam is the Marad Shmaitzer. In Hilchos Tzitzis, the Rambam already establishes the rule. He says that women can wear talis and tzitzis. However, they are not to make a bracha should they do so, based on the fact that they're not obligated. Yet, in Hilchos Talmud Torah, the Rambam tells us that women who engage in Torah study must make Birchas HaTorah. And the question is, the Rambam himself in Hilchos Talmud Torah says that women are not obligated to study Torah. So how can they say, Asher Kedushanu b'mitzvotav v'tzivanu al divrei Torah? The Rambam's text is not la'asok b'divrei Torah, as was the Rabbeinu Tam, al divrei Torah, if they're not obligated. That led Rav Chaim to his famous conclusion that Birchas HaTorah is not a Birchas HaMitzvah, but it's a Birchas HaNeneh. we engage in thanking HaKadosh Baruch Hu based on the enjoyment that we reap studying Torah. And just as an individual thanks HaKadosh Baruch Hu before you have the opportunity to consume an apple, and you acknowledge that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the creator of that Torah by saying of that apple, by saying Baruch Atah Hashem Elokeinu Baruch Pri Haaretz, so too we acknowledge that the joy that will be generated by virtue of studying the Torah, the absolute pleasure is HaKadosh Baruch Hu's. And therefore, since it's a birchas hanenin and not a birchas hamitzvah, the Rambam believes that women are obligated to recite it. And as a result, even though they're not technically obligated to learn, it's appropriate for them to make that bracha. So I would add on to what Rabbi Lau said and say that the Masechta is called Maseches Brachos and not Kriya Shema, because not only is there an obligation to make Birchas HaTorah before you start learning anything, but the whole experience of learning should be one of enjoyment. As the bracha itself says, V'ha'arevno Hashem Elokei. So before you can even enjoy one Mishnah, we acknowledge the role that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was as the grantor of Torah, and perhaps it explains why, in addition to the Meiri's comment, that Reish is Chachma, Yiras Hashem, why we have to start learning Kriya Shema, why it's called Maseches Brachos. So I'd like to try to handle two or three issues tonight based on the Mishnah and certainly the Machlokes Rashi and Tosfos at the beginning of the Masechta. So the Mishnah states, Me'emasai Koirin Eshema Be'arvin. From when can we fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema at night? The Gaon makes a critical observation on the word Koirin. It's written in the plural and not in the singular. It could have said Me'emasai Korei Adam is Shema. Why Korin? Do we read? We read the Shema at night. Says the Gaon, based on the fact that the halacha of Shomea Ke'one does not apply by Kriya Shema. There is normally a halacha that any time there is a mitzvah that is fulfilled through speech, dibur, normally the halacha is that if somebody says it and I listen, I can fulfill that particular mitzvah. There is a mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. So most of us don't read the Megillah. We come to shul, we listen to the Baal Koreh, and we discharge our obligation of reading the Megillah by listening to the Baal Koreh. Anytime before Rosh Hashanah, on Rosh Hashanah, before Tekiyah Shofar, the halacha is you have to say the bracha, Lishmaya Kol Shofar. Most of us don't say the bracha. We listen to the Baal Tokeah, and he discharges our obligation, and that's known the halacha of Shomea Ke'one. The question is, let's assume right now, either I don't know, or I'm too tired because I got home after 1 o'clock yesterday, and that's without even staying till the end. It was once the Klosenberger Rebbe got up there, after everybody was finished, that's crazy. So can you say the Shema and I'll be out to the mitzvah, just sitting right here and listening? Can I go ahead and stand there next to your Shemon Esrei in your living room? You'll say the Shema Esrei a little louder and discharge my obligation of davening. The answer is no. For some reason, we can only speculate why, the halacha of Shomea Ke'one does not apply to Kriya Shema, does not apply to Davar. So if I am an ignoramus and I don't know the text, there is only one way for me to discharge my obligation of Davar. And that's and subsequently Kriya Shema. That's to come to Shul. And therefore it has to be done within the Mizgeret, within the framework of Tefillah B'Tzibur. So then the Chazan will say the entire Birchas Kriya Shema out loud, as they still do in Eidot HaMizrach. They say the whole davening out loud. I will listen, and by virtue of listening, I will now be mekayim the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. I'll be mekayim the mitzvah of Tefillah. But simply to sit next to my friend as he chats and recites the Kriya Shema out loud, and I should have in mind to be Yotzi, and he'll have in mind to be Motzi me, will not work. It will not work. So apparently, and therefore this says the Gaon, the Mishnah says the word Korin. Everybody has to read the Shema. You can't rely on the halach of Shema Ka'one in relationship to the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. It is possible, it's only speculation, that the reason why this might be so is because Chazal were looking for individuals to make an effort to learn this. If you knew that the only way that you could possibly discharge your biblical obligation was coming to shul every morning at 6:30 in the morning, you know, sometimes you're a little lazy, you're a little tired, but on the other hand, you would like to fulfill the mitzvah. Nobody wants to deny and fail to be the kind of mitzvah of Kriya Shema and fail to be the kind of mitzvah of davening. So therefore, you'll make an effort to learn it. And perhaps that's the reason why they didn't grant us this opportunity to engage in Shema Ka'oneh in relationship to Kriya Shema and Tefillah. The only way it can be done is through the Mizgeret of Tefillah B'Tzibur. So you have to be in shul with a minyan. You have to answer Amen to every single bracha. As opposed to Shema Ka'oneh, well, you don't have to say anything. The Rambam tells us at the beginning of Hilchos Brachos that there are two ways in which you can be Mekayim Mitzvah through Shema Ka'oneh. Either by listening to the bracha from beginning to end and having kavanah, or just answering amen without any kavanah. But by davening, by Kriya Shema, Birchas Kriya Shema, and tefillah, you have to answer amen. There has to be some participation to it. So the Gaon says, it says, me'emasai korin, to teach you that the halach of Shema Ka'ineh does not apply in relationship to Kriya Shema. When we get up to Daf Memhei and we learn Shloisha She'achlu, we'll see the same thing is true by Birchas HaMazon. That if you and me are eating a peanut butter and jelly sandwich, I'm eating peanut butter and jelly, you're eating jelly and peanut butter, under those circumstances, I can't just say to Birchas HaMazon, you'll sit there and listen to me, or vice versa. It has to be within the mizgeret of a zimun, of three people. But two people, there is no zimun. Unless you'll see a boor and a sofer, but that's a different halacha. But again, for some reason, ordinary shomer ka'oneh doesn't work there either. So the Mishnah asks, Me'emes ha'ikar v'neshema ba'arvin, mishosh ha'koneim nichnasin lecho b'trumasa. From the time that Kohanim begin to eat a truma, should a Kohen be tameh? Even if he is a tameh, based on we learned the last masechta, let's assume he's a zav, requires he had some type of discharge for three consecutive days, became a zav, which is a gedola, a zav, is now tameh for 3 days, for 7 days, and must require a korban in order to be mitayer himself to enter the mikdash. Achilas Truma does not require the korban. All he needs is immerse in the mikveh and Harav Shemesh and sunset, expiration of the day. So whenever the Kohen has an opportunity to eat Truma, having been Tameh and cleansed himself, entered the mikveh, that's considered nightfall, and as a result, one can go ahead and recite the Kriya Shema as well. Ad sof ha'ashmura ha'rishayim, until the first ashmura. According to Rabbi Eliezer, the night, everybody acknowledges that the night is divided into three ashmurot, and as a result, he believes that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema Shel Arvis is only until the first ashmura, so on the average standard 12-hour day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. This will go from 6 p.m. until 10 p.m. The Chachamim Oimrim at Chatzos. Ram Gamliel Oimer at Shiyal Aramur HaShachar. Basically, there are only two opinions. The Machloikis is how to interpret the word B'shach B'cha. We know that the Gemara says that our Mishnah operates on the fact that we know the Pasuk in Chumash of this week's Parsha, Parshas Vayeschana, and that you're supposed to read the Kriya Shema B'shach B'cha V'kumecha. How do you interpret the word B'shach B'cha? Do you interpret the word B'shach B'cha when people are going to sleep, or while people are sleeping? So if you interpret the word b'shach b'chol while people are going to sleep, that's Rabbi Eliezer's opinion. People don't go to sleep at 2 in the morning. People go to sleep at the first couple of hours. That's when people retire. Don't forget, there is no electricity. You have to fire up a fire just to see anything. Most people couldn't afford to have fires going all night. So therefore, at the beginning of the night, that's when you recite Kriya Shema. Ram Gamliel the Chachamim believe that the definition of the word B'shach B'chol does not mean when you are going to retire to sleep, but when you are sleeping. You're allowed to recite the Kriya Shema as long as people are sleeping. Well, people sleep all night. And as a result, they believe that Me'ikar Hadin, the mitzvah of Kriya Shema, is until the next morning. And Chachamim, as the mission itself will say, believe that it's only a precaution kidei laharchik adam in avera to advance to chatzos. Maase ubo banav mebeis hamishter. The children of Rabbi Gamliel came from a wedding. Amru lo, they said to him, loikarinu shema. We haven't recited the shema. I guess they didn't do it like we do. Right after the chuppah, everybody is getting together minyanim. Hey, let's stop marv. And they didn't do it. Amar lahem, im lo ola amud hashachar chayav anata in the gross. You're obligated to read. V'lo zu bilvad, amru. Ela kol ma she'amru chachamim an chatzois, mitzvosan hachiyal an amar hashachar. Any time that the Chachamim said that something should take place only until Chatzos, fundamentally, essentially, the mitzvah is Achi Al Amud HaShachar, until daybreak the next morning. However, in order to make sure that a person doesn't fall asleep and ignore that mitzvah, they advanced it until Chatzos. So two illustrations. Hekta chalav ve'ivar mitzvah sanachi alam unashachar. If you have any fats and limbs of a korban that was bought the previous day, at night the Beis HaMikdash is closed, no new activity in the Mikdash. But if there was a backlog on the Mizbeach, so any activity which was brought during the day before sunset, under those circumstances, the limbs could be burnt at night. Till when could they be burnt? Until the next morning. The Chachamim said it should be done until Chatzos. Same thing. If you have a korban that can be eaten only for one day, so it's the day in which you bring the korban plus that night, because in the Beis Hamikdash halayla holech acharayom, night follows day in the Mikdash, and as a result, if the kohen brought a korban chatas for me, a korban asham, he can eat that korban for one day and one night. If I or we bring a korban todah is only one day and one night. Theoretically, it can be eaten until daybreak the next morning. After that, it would become nosar. As a precaution, the Chachamim said, no, anything that's eaten until the next morning should be already consumed by Chatzos. And Cain, Lama Amru Chachamim at Chatzos, Kedei Laharchik Adam Minho Aveira. Fine. Now, here is one of the most important Rabbeinu Yoinas you're going to come across in all the Shas, and it repeats itself 50,000 times. Even though a simple reading of the Mishnah would be that, as Rabbi Gamliel himself told his sons, you know what? Even the Chachamim essentially agree that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema is Arat She'alam Arat Shachar. But they said it's only Laharchik Adam and Havera at Chatzos. Therefore, my dear children, who came home at 2 in the morning from this wedding, you can still fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. Not only according to me, but even according to them. Why? Because Me'ikar Adin, they believe that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema goes until the next morning. It's just a general precautionary method. Well, these were unusual circumstances. By all means, read the Kriya Shema. That's the way all Rishonim interpret our Mishnah, Barna, almost everybody. That b'di'evet, if for some reason you were preoccupied and you failed to read Kriya Shema by Chatzos, you read it at 5 after 12, you read it at 3 in the morning until daybreak the next morning. Except for the Rabbeinu Yoyim. The Rabbeinu Yoinu right here posits the premise that when the Chachamim tell us that you will not be mekayim, that the mitzvah of Kriya Shema has to be fulfilled by Chatzos, it means that after Chatzos, the Rabbanan have said that we deny you the Kiyum HaMitzvah Midoraisa. that once the Rabbanan have told us that there is a mitzvah to read it by Chatzais, you fail to get any mitzvah beyond Chatzais. And this is the first of 50 illustrations where rabbinic law has the capacity to override a biblical law, and now based on the Rabbanan, you will not be mekayim the mitzvah a ki huzeh whatsoever. And the Rabbeinu Yonah says, where do I find that the Rabbanan get such power in order to uproot a Torah law and tell you and me that at 5, last night Chatzos was about 12:50, something like that. So if at 12:51 I read the Kriya Shema, I'm not mekayim the mitzvah. Where did they have a right to say that? Says the Rabbeinu Yonah, what do you mean? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry and Sam knows very well that the Rabbanan have the right to uproot Torah law. After all, when Rosh Hashanah comes out on Shabbos, are we going to blow the shofar? No. If Sukkot comes out on Shabbos, are we going to take the Arba Minim? No. If Shushan Purim comes out on Shabbos, are going to read the Megillah in Yerushalayim HaKodesh? No, they won't. Based on the fact that under those circumstances, you will, because you might carry. So you see that the Rabbanan have the capacity to uproot a Torah law. So therefore, I, Rabbeinu Yonah, believe that the Rabbanan can say that after Chatzos, you will not be mekayim the mitzvah whatsoever. Asks the Shagas Aryeh, how can you compare the two situations? Tell me, Rabotai, why the two situations are not analogous. Why I can buy into the illustrations that he provided. Namely, we don't blow shofar on Shabbos, we don't take a lulav on Shabbos, we don't read the Megillah on Shabbos. Why will that rationale not have any application here? Exactly. There, the reason for rabbinic legislation is to protect us from a serious transgression. Chilul Shabbos. That if I don't know how to blow the shofar, I will carry Gzeirah Shem Yavirinu, Dalet Amos Pirshus Rabin, in order to learn. So where the Chachamim are told Asus Yog LaTaira to establish a protective fence, I understand where the Rabbanim can tell us, even though the Torah says on the first day of Tishrei you're supposed to blow the shofar, we the rabbis are saying if it's Shabbos, don't blow. Don't be in the kind of midst of Yom Tur Yilachem. We understand it. But here, if you didn't read the Kriya Shema at 5 after 12, by 12 o'clock, by Chatzos, are you going to violate any law? No, not going to violate any law. Asks the Shagas Aryeh, where have we ever found that the Rabbanan would be oker a mitzvah just to protect that very mitzvah? In the other illustrations which the Rabbeinu Yonah cites, you are oker a mitzvah to protect violation of a serious law, chilul Shabbos. So there you will suspend the kiyum mitzvah of Kriya Shema to protect chilul Shabbos. But here, if you didn't read Kriya Shema at 12 o'clock, what law have you violated? Nothing. Haven't violated anything. So where do you ever find that you will go ahead and create a suspend the mitzvah only to protect that very mitzvah, just in case that what you should fall asleep and fail to be mekayim the mitzvah because you fell asleep? They're telling you to do it by chatzos. Is that a reason to tell that if Rabbi Gamliel's children came home from a wedding and they didn't have an opportunity to read, that they shouldn't read the mitzvah? Therefore, the Shagas Aryeh writes, Tzorich Iyun Gadol on this Rabbeinu Yonah. Tzorich Iyun Gadol. However, there are many illustrations in Shas to document and show not the analogy, even though Rav Zevin in his Sefer Ma'adam Halacha comes up with another case which is an exact parallel. If I have time, I'll do that to defend the Rabbeinu Yonah against the critique of the Shagas Aryeh. But even more so, the principle of the Rabbeinu Yonah has much support. I'll give you one famous, I'll give you five on the spot. I'll give you one famous illustration. It's a Gemara in Sukkah. Somebody goes ahead, it's a Machloikas Rabbi and Rabbi Yehuda. Somebody builds a sukkah on top of a donkey. Okay? on top of a gamol, on a camel. That's the illustration of Mishnah. Ha'isa sukkah al gabi ha'gamol. So Rab Meir says, you're not mekayin the mitzvah. Not mekayin the mitzvah. And Rab Yehuda says, you are mekayin the mitzvah. Says the Gemara, why are you not mekayin the mitzvah according to Rabbi Meir? Because on the first day of Yontiv, you can't use it. Why? Because on Yontiv, as well as Shabbos, you're not allowed to climb on an animal. There's an Issa Midrabanan of getting on an animal. So therefore, that first day of Yontiv, it's not available for you. So now Rabbi Meir says that a sukkah she'eina ru'uya l'shiva, a sukkah that is not suitable for 7 days, lo shmei sukkah, is not halachically called a sukkah. Any sukkah which for any reason whatsoever is not available to you to be used to fulfill your mitzvah for 7 days is not called a sukkah. Now, isn't this sukkah available for you for 7 days? Did the Torah say it's not available for you? No, of course not. Torah said you can go on this all 7 days. Who said that you can't use this sukkah one of the days? The rabbis. And based on the rabbis telling us you can't climb an animal, that now impacts on the biblical halacha, the Torah halacha, that you need a sukkah, haru'uya l'shiva. You need a sukkah worthy of, capable of sitting in it and going at it for 7 days. Based on the pasuk, chaga sukkas tasa l'cha, you need a sukkah, haru'uya l'shiva. Thank you. So there a principle exists, even in a Mishnah, according to Rabbi Meir, that a din de Rabbanan can shape a definition midoraisa. And as a result, if you go on to that sukkah, according to Rabbi Meir, you're not mekayim the mitzvah of sukkah any day of the Yontif. Not only on the first day of Yontif, which is a Yontif, but if you go on Chol HaMoed, you're not mekayim the mitzvah. What do you mean you're not mekayim the mitzvah? According to Torah law, this is a sukkah haruya l'shiva. But the answer is, the Rabbanan apparently enjoy that capacity to somehow define parameters of Torah and now impact that fulfillment of the mitzvah.
But you're always also protecting. But you're also protecting.
What are you doing?
You're protecting against Chil Shabbos.
But it's not Chil Shabbos. That's just it. Going on an animal is Nisa to Rabbanan.
But it's
not Chil Shabbos Daraisa. It's not that you're going to carry.
But in Brachos, in Shema, there's no.
I said that question is the Shabbosar is unanswered. I'm just bringing other illustrations to the concept itself that the Rabbanan have that ability to impact on a din d'oraisa. There are many such illustrations. But that's a very famous Rabbeinu Yoina, and it's if you come away from the Mishnah with that Rabbeinu Yoina, Dayenu. That's an important one, and it's quoted by many situations. Let's take a look at issue number two, which is the thrust of the machloikas between Rashi and Tosfos. So the Mishnah, take a look at Rashi. Third line, at so far Shmura HaRishayna. According to Rabbi Lezer, you're entitled to fulfill the mitzvah of Kriya Shema until the first third of the night. Shlish halayla, kedem mefarish begemara, umishon va'elech avar zman, delorit rasu zman shchiva. Beyond that, you're not mekayim the mitzvah because it's no longer defined as the time when people go to bed. V'lo karinin beit b'shach b'cha. Umikami hachi, nami lav zman shchiva. And before Tzeisa Kachavim, that's also not a time when people typically would go to bed. And hence, if you are mekayim, if you read Kriya Shema before Tzeisa Kachavim, you're not mekayim the mitzvah either. Lefikach, hakoyre, koydim, lochein, lo yotze yidei chavasa. Anybody who reads Shema before has not fulfilled the mitzvah. Asks Rashi his famous question. Im kain, lama korino sub beit hakneset? Why do we read Kriya Shema when every shul in the world that he knows of davens marav before tzeis? Daven mincha, right before shkia. Somebody gives a dvar halacha, then you daven marav, and that's it. It's way before tzeis. So why do we read Kriya Shema in the middle of Mar if we're not going to be Mekayim the Mitzvah? Answers Rashi, Kidei Lamod B'Tfilo Mitoich Divrei Torah, so that you will introduce the davening with Divrei Torah. So for Mincha we recite a perek of Ashrei, Ashrei Yishmei V'Secha. Then you go ahead and say Shemon Esrei. So too by Maariv you will introduce the Shemon Esrei, having recited some Divrei Torah, namely Kriya Shema. But you're not the kind of mitzvah of Kriya Shema if you read the Shema before Tzeisa Kachav. The Hachi Tanya Bebraisa Bebrachas Yerushalm. What exactly that means, Kidei Lamod a Betfila B'Toch Divrei Torah, again, requires some explanation. I'll see if I have time to get to that. U'Fikach Chovo Aleinu L'Krosa Mishetechshach. Therefore, when you get home, the Gabbai always has to announce, we daven Maariv before what? Before Tzeis. Therefore, remember to say Kriya Shema. But our Gabbai didn't listen to Rashi. Our Gabbai will always announce, remember to say all three parshiyos of Kriya Shema. That's not what Rashi is going to say. Says Rashi, Ubekriyas parsha rishoina she'adam korei al mitaso yotza. And with Kriya Shema al amita, you will be yotza your obligation. So here Rashi tells us, based on a four-way machlokes of rishoinim, how much he believes of the Shema must be said in order to fulfill your biblical obligation. The Ramban is of the opinion that only the first pasuk is midoraisa, because we will learn later on the Yud Gimel Amid Beis, Rebbe was giving a shir before daybreak. His talmidim, that's when he demanded that they come. Suddenly came Kriya Shema, Zman Kriya Shema, and Rebbe is still going on with the shir, and they told him, Zman Kriya Shema. So what did he do? He said, Shema Yisrael Hashem Elkein Hashem Echad, and he said, okay, let's go on with the shir. So the Gemara says, Shema Yisrael Hashem, Zuhi Kriya Shema Shal Rabbi Yud HaNasi. So the Ramban concludes that midoraisa you only need the first pasuk. Rashi apparently, not apparently, says quite clearly here that all you need the midoraisa is the first parak. Why? Because he says, it says in the first parak, Vahayu hadvarim ha'ele asher anochi mitzav chahayom alavecha v'dibarta bam. You have to say these words. So therefore Rashi says the first parak. Talmidei Rabbeinu Yoina right here say, you have to say the first two parakim. Because the words appears not only in the first parsha, but in next week's parsha, Parsha's Ekev, you find a similar phrase, Lidaber Bam, to say these words. The Rambam is the Morid Shmaitza who says that Midoraisa, all three parshios of Kriya Shema are Midoraisa. The Rambam. Klal Yisrael is obviously no egg like the Rambam, and we believe that all three parshas are midoraisa. However, Rashi believed that only the first parsha itself happens to be a doraisa. So says Rashi. So let's take a look at Tosfos. Tosfos says, I'm just following Michael Rishon's instructions. He says, I don't have to do the daf, because you can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow is the first daf, so I can just ploy there a little here.
I'm not going to be here tomorrow.
What? Huh? But that's your headache. That's all. So Rashi, Tosfos will ask a series of questions against Rashi. Let's look a couple of them just quickly. Perush Rashi. Va'anan hechi karinam nibod yom ve'en onu mamtinen lotzeis ha'kachavim k'nefarish b'gemara al-kein pirish Rashi shekriya shema alamita ikar v'hu kriya shema alamita is l'achat tzeis ha'kachav v'hachi yisa b'rishal im kara kodem l'chein, if you read before tzeis lo yatz im kein lama anu mispalen kriya shema b'beit ha'kneset k'dei la'amod b'tfilu m'toch divretar. Tema lepirusha espamia avunder. I am perplexed. How could the holy Rashi say something like that? The halo ain haolam regilim likro sama b'shchiva el a parsha rishayim. Everybody only reads the first parsha. Now Tosfos couldn't believe that there is somebody, namely Grandpa, who believes that what? That only the first parsha is doraisa. Tosfos couldn't believe that. What do you mean only first parsha? Of course, at least two, and probably all three, are doraisa. V'imkein shalosh parshias hayal l'nikros. So the Balei HaTosfos agree with the Rambam that all three parshias are doraisa. V'od kasha did sorich levarich bekriya shma shtaim lefonel shtaim lachreil be'arvus. As we will learn later on in the next Mishnah, Kriya Shema is surrounded with brachos. And at night there are two before and two after. That which you said Birchas Kriya Shema in the middle of davening was a waste of time, because you can't fulfill Birchas Kriya Shema if you can't fulfill Shema. And if you can't fulfill Shema and Totzeis, the recitation of Birchas Kriya Shema aren't said either. So not only Tosfos would ask, why would you bother saying the brachos in shul? It would be a brachah levatalah, basically. And this is part of a more famous debate. Is Birchas Shema, yes, we call them Birchas Kriya Shema, but do they follow the mizgeret, the framework of davening, or do they follow the framework of Kriya Shema? Follow the framework of Kriya Shema. Which are they? So take, for example, Chacham Obadia, Avadi Yosef, who believes, as we just said, women, that's not his opinion, women are exempt from the mitzvah of Kriya Shema. So it's the mitzvah Seishes Zman Glama, has a fixed time during the day that you can be Mekayim the mitzvah. Should women say Birchas Kriya Shema or not? So Chacham Obadia says, women should skip Birchas Kriya Shema when they die. Skip it. Why? Because how can you say a bracha on something which is what? Which you're not chayiv in. They're not chayiv in Kriya Shema. How can they say Birchas Kriya Shema? So from his perspective, Birchas Kriya Shema always relate to what? To the idea of whatever is Kriya Shema. You can disagree with him and say Birchas Kriya Shema, they're called Birchas Kriya Shema, but the mizgeret of Birchas Kriya Shema is a davening issue. They belong, they're assigned to davening, not to Kriya Shema. And since they're not, they're assigned to davening, women are obligated to daven midoraisa. And therefore, no one ever said that they can't say Shmon Esrei, because they could have gotten away with something less than that. But he believes that it's part of Kriya Shema. Tosfos is asking the same question. Well, how are you going to be mekayem mitzvah of Kriya Shema if you don't say the brachos lefonel and brachos l'achreil? The ode, the osa Kriya Shema samach lemita ena el bishvil hamazikin. This Kriya Shema, which we recite before you retire, is only to protect you from demons. Kid amar b'samach, the Gemara will say like the im talmud chacham who ain't utzarich. That if you're Talmud Chacham, you don't have to say Kriya Shema. Because if you're Talmud Chacham, you're not going to be attacked by demons in any event. So therefore, what's Rashi talking about? The Oid Kasha. The Inkein Paskinet to Rabbi Shu ben Levi, Domar, Tfilos Be'emtza Tiknum. Pirush Be'emtza Ben Shnei Kriya Shema, Ben Kriya Shema Shal Shema, Shal Shachris, and Ben Kriya Shema Shal Arvis. The Anan Kaimalon Kurabi Yochanan, Domal Kamon, Ezel Ben Oil Mabo, Zeasim Mechula Shalarvis Lutfila. Rabbi Shu ben Levi says there is no halacha to be smicha so mechula Lutfila at night. There isn't that. So therefore, our davenings are sandwiched in between the two recitations of the Shema. You start the day with Kriya Shema Shal Shachris, then you daven Shachris, Shmon Esrei, then you daven Mincha. Then you'll go to shul before Tzeis and daven Maariv, and when you'll get home, you'll say Kriya Shema and be mekayem mitzvah of Kriya Shema after Tzeis. So tfilot be'emtza tiknu, the three Shmon Esreis which we daven are sandwiched in the middle between the two Kriya Shemas. But that's only Rabbi Shua ben Levi's opinion. We paskin like Rabbi Yochanan, who says that Ezel ben Olam Abba zehasoymech geula tefila shalarvus. There is a mitzvah to be smichas geula tefila. So if smichas geula tefila, Shmona Esrei has to follow Kriya Shema at night, and therefore tefilot can't be beemsa. But the way you Rashi set it up, you formulated the halacha like Rabbi Shua ben Levi. Lochein pirush Rabbeinu Tam the Adra Kriya Shema Beis HaKnesses says Ikar. The Im Toyma Heich Onu Koyrin Kol Kach Mebayyoyim V'yeshloimar de kaimolon ki Rabbi Yehuda, de amar beperek tfilas hashachar, de zman tfilas mincha ad plaga mincha, de hayu acharas or shos pachos revia, umiyad kishiyichle zman hamincha, maschel zman aris. Says Tosis, why can you be mekayin a mitzvah? I want you to identify the difficulty. The halacha is that we pass him like Rabbi Yehuda. Very nice. So according to Rabbi Yehuda, you're allowed to daf Maariv after Plaga Mincha. Okay. Why? Because Zman Mincha, according to Rabbi Yehuda, extends only until Plag. So if Zman Mincha applies only to Plag, as soon as Zman Mincha expires, Zman Maariv begins. So at Plaga Mincha, on our standard 12-hour day from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., it's 10 and 3 quarters hours. At a quarter to 5, an hour and a quarter before sunset, you're allowed to daven Maariv. Daven Maariv. And the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda. Therefore, says Rabbi Natan, when you daven Maariv in shul, you're mekayin the mitzvah of Maariv. Very nice. Excellent. What's the difficulty with Rabbi Natan? Whatever happened to Shema? Since when does Rabbi Yehuda say that Kriya Shema is dread? No one's debating that you can't have Maariv early. That wasn't any difficulty with Rashi. The problem was that in the middle of Kriya Shema, you don't have Maariv, you also say Kriya Shema. And Kriya Shema is before it says. That's the question which everybody asks on the Rabbeinu Tam. But the Rabbeinu Tam apparently believes that when you daven Maariv early, not only are you being mekayin the mitzvah of Maariv, you're being mekayin the mitzvah of Kriya Shema as well. You are being mekayin. That's what he's saying. And then the rest of the Tosfos, all he says is, how can you daven Mincha and Maariv in that same time zone? That after Plag, you'll daven Mincha, and then you'll daven Maariv. How's that possible? Says the Rabbeinu Tam, ve'im toimar heich onenu mispalin tefilas mincha samlach hashecha afilu lacha plaga mincha. How is it that a person can daven until sunset? And many of our people who joined us last night daven way after sunset, or daven mincha way after sunset. What do you mean? According to Rabbi Yehuda, you have to finish by plaga mincha. Answers the Gemara, yesh loimar the kaimelim ki rabbana, because we paskin like the rabbana. The Amri's man tfilas hamincha ado erev. They said that you're allowed to daven mincha until nightfall. We'll see later in the fourth parak whether it's until tseis or only until shkia. There's a famous Shagasari interpreting Rashi. That Rashi, he claims, Rashi says you're allowed to daven mincha until tseis hakachavim. That's what he claims. Because bein hashmashos is between sunset and tseis is a safek. And since tfilas mincha is only midrabanan, Sveika the Rabbanan Lakula, he claims that when the Mishnah says Tfilas Amincha Ad Erev, Rashi says Ad Chashecha, it means until Tseis HaKachavim. That's how the Shagasari explains Rashi. Right, and here the Rabbeinu Tam is availing himself of that opinion. Of course, Rab Chaim went nuts against that Shagasari and claims that the halacha Sveika the Rabbanan Lakula has no application whatsoever, because the halacha is that Tfilas HaMincha is established to parallel the Korban Tumah Shel Beinu Arbayim. And the Gemara in Zvachim tells us on Daf Tzadik Hei, Dam Nifsal B'Shkiyas Acham. The blood in the Beis HaMikdash, if it was sprinkled after Shkia, it was possible. So the Korban Tumah, which is established to reflect that Korban, even if halachically day would extend until Tseis HaKachavim, based on the Suffolk, Bein HaShmash is a Suffolk, Sveik the Rabbanu Lakula doesn't accomplish anything with allowing you to daven Mincha 1 minute after Shkia. Because the Korban Tumah was possible after Shkia, therefore Mincha is possible after Shkia. And Reb Chaim is of the opinion that if you have a minyan davening after Shkia, forget about Tefillah B'Tzibur and daven Mincha before Shkia Sacham. But anyhow, that's what Tosfos says. V'amrino the kaman hashda the lo avid hilchas lo kamar v'lo kamar the avid kamar avid kamara. Since the halacha was not established either like Rabbi Yehuda or Chachamim, so if you want to paskin like Rabbi Yehuda and hold that mincha is until plag and then you start davening marav, that's okay. Or if you want to hold like the Chachamim and daven until tseis, that's okay as well. Mikol Mokum Kasha Deheve Kitre Kule de Sasun Hadadi. But to daven both Mincha and Mariv after Tzeis, before at least Shkia, and Matthew even says, that's Tre Kule de Sasre Hadadi. That's two leniencies which are mutually exclusive one of the other. So what I want to do to conclude for today is to give you two defenses of Klal Yisrael's practice. Each one and every one, whenever we daven Friday night, if you daven the famous 7 o'clock minyan in America, always violates this principle. We daven Mincha after Plag at 7 o'clock, and we daven Marav before Shkia. So we have Trei Kulei de Sasrei Adad. And there are some shuls that do that, particularly senior citizens. They will daven 7 o'clock a whole summer, not only on Friday night, they'll daven every night of the week. So there are two possible answers to this question. Number one, the Rav suggested, based on a Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, that Tefillas Arvis, Rambam writes, Ein Midaktikin Bizmana. That's the Lashon of Rambam. Tefillas Arvis, Horil HaTefillas Arvis Rishus, since there's no mandatory obligation to daven Mar, it's only Rishus, as the Gemara will say in the fourth parak, therefore Ein Midaktikin Bizmana. What does that mean, Ein Midaktikin Bizmana? Does that mean you're allowed to have Mar right now? Said the mother. Oh, yeah, okay. It's 7:20 in the morning without Mar. That's absurd. What does it mean, in Medaktikin Bismana? That even as long as there is some Shita who says that you're allowed to daven Mariv, you can rely on that Shita. So therefore, let's say Plaga Mincha is 4:45. At 10:05 you daven Mincha. So, because the Halacha is like the Chachamim, that you're allowed to daven Mincha until 6. But now you have to daven Mariv. No, Ein Medaktikin Bizmana. There is somebody on this planet who says that you're allowed to daven Marav, therefore you can shtel zechavek and daven in Marav, no problem. That's how the Rav understood. The Stipler came up with an incredible chiddush, unbelievable chiddush. And he said as follows, the entire Tarta de Sasrei is predicated upon the fact that you believe that Marav is linked to Mincha. That as soon as Mincha is over, Mariv automatically begins. Automatic. Now Rabbi Yehuda didn't say that. Rabbi Yehuda just said that Plag HaMincha is the end of Mincha. He didn't say automatically that triggers the beginning of Mariv. He never said that. That's the assumption that Tosfos is making. So if that's the assumption that Tosfos is making, we understand why you can't have both at the same time. Because if you're allowed to daven Mariv Mincha only until Plag, that triggers it. But if you're now allowed to daven, if you're allowed to daven Mincha until Shkia, then you can't trigger the beginning of Mariv. Says the Stipler, maybe that's not the case. It could be that there are two independent halachas. Namely, there's one machloikis. One machloikis says, till when are you allowed to daven Mincha? What's the answer, Rabbi Tan? So machloikis Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Did the Gemara resolve that machloikis? No, it did not. So in the absence, what do we do? If I don't know who to paskinite, I have to, is it a din d'oraisa or a din d'rabbanan? Rabbanan. So I say, sveka d'rabbanan l'kula, and at 4:50, I daven Mincha, because the halacha might be like the Chacham. At 5 o'clock I'm finished Mincha. Now I ask myself a second question. I relate that Marav now. What's the answer, Rabotai? It's a machloikus, Rabbi Yehuda and the Chacham. Was this machloikus resolved? No, it was not. Is this a din d'oraisa or din d'rabbanan? It's a din d'rabbanan. So now it's 5 o'clock, I paskin again, sveka d'rabbanan l'kula, and I daven Marav. Because you can look at them as two separate issues. Not that once you resolve Mincha, you automatically have to adopt that subsequent opinion from Marav. They're two separate machloikas. If there are two separate machloikas, they can be resolved independently. If they can be resolved independently, under those circumstances, we have the right to say, sveka d'rabbanan l'kula on both of them, and hence you daven Mincha after Plag. 5 minutes later, you ask yourself the second question, you resolve in the same fashion, and you go ahead and daven Marav. But what should emerge from this is two things from today's shiur. Number one, it's called brachos, like Rabbi Lau said, but I added the idea that Birchas HaTorah is a Birchas HaNeni, and that we should enjoy the next 7.5 years, hopefully in good health for everybody, to be mekayim, to come to the next Siyum HaShas. Number two, the point of the Rabbeinu Yonah, that when the Mishnah says, according to the Chachamim, Laharchikodom and Avera, it's not just Laharchikodom and Avera, it means that the Rabbanan have suspended your Kiyum HaMitzvah, even though it's only Midrabbanan. The Rabbanan have a right to suspend your mitzvah Midoraisa. And we gave other test cases to prove that as well. Shagasaryeh's challenge, notwithstanding, remember that principle. And then the Machloikis Rashi and the Rabbeinu Tam. Number one, how much of Kriyash Mizdoraisa? That's number one. And number two, whether or not you can be Mekayim the mitzvah of Kriyashma and Marv after Plag, as well as Davini Mincha, and claim that it's not a violation of Tarte de Sasra. Okay, stop here. So some other time. Perhaps that. Yeah.